Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. Now, if you've been a part of Christian Ministries Church for very long, you've probably heard this talked about, and you will always hear it talked about, because I think it's very, very important that we understand the call of God upon Christian Ministries and what He's asked us to do and what we're doing to the best of our ability to accomplish here by living according to the Word. And chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Let me say, that will be for the rest of your life here on earth. You will continue this and for the rest of your life on earth, because for complete knowledge and understanding of everything of God, we're going to have to be in His presence in heaven, and all things will be known at that point. But right now, we are to be equipped with the knowledge of how we are to go out and minister, and that is done through the church. That is done through the church. That is the heart of this church. It was Christ who gave Jesus. He gave the gifts to the church that enabled it to function. And know this, that there is a lot more gifts than these five. These are the ones given to the church to equip the church people, the people of the church to minister. And I want to make sure that we get that, because as you go out into the world every week, you need equipped. You need equipped. We talked last week about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and we talked how the pastors and teachers will function under the same calling, but they do two different functions. The church has to function biblically. We've got to function biblically, not traditionally. We got to. There's nothing wrong with tradition, but everything's wrong with tradition when it overrides the Bible. The traditions of the church can't get to the point that we make that Bible, and it was never Bible, it was just a tradition. And so we've got to always be careful that we go back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word, and make sure we're not lining up something different. Equip means to prepare, to build up, to mend, to edify, to enable for function, to train, getting perfected. And that's what we're doing, is we're here trying to get all that we can so that we can go out and function for the Lord. Really, that's what we're doing. We talked last week about evidences of equipped people, and that's where we ended it. And I talked about four evidences. People that are equipped in the Word are Christ-like. People that are equipped. Now, let me just say, all Christians don't act Christ-like. But Christians that are equipped act Christ-like. See, the other thing that I talked about, number two, they are stable. People that are equipped are stable. They're not blown about by every new teaching, everything that comes their way. They're stable. One thing that I know about our staff is our staff is stable. They're stable on the Word of God. And you just try to change their opinion on something, it ain't happening. They're stable. They're not really movable. I can't tell you the times I've been in conversation with Melanie. I've been in conversation with Josh. I've been in a conversation about BJ. And you're not moving them much. You've been in conversation with me? I don't move much. Why? Because I'm just not blown about. And that can be frustrating, but let me tell you, that's a sign of an equipped person. They're equipped on the Word, and they stand on their belief. And I want a church full of people who are equipped enough to stand on their what they believe in. Amen. See, I can handle us not seeing everything just identical as long as I'm not got them just going like this. Now, it'd be nice if they just do everything I say and believe exactly like I do on every topic. But know this, then they wouldn't be stable. Christ-like people, equipped Christ-like people, are stable. The third thing I talked about is they marry truth and love, and they give both at the same time. That is a sign of an equipped Christian, is someone who can minister the truth in love. Now, there are times that people don't feel loved when they're being told the truth. There are times that we love people so much that we leave out the truth. See, I mean that, but when you're equipped, you can do both. You remember this from last week? Y'all nodding at me, some of you. That's important. The fourth thing I talked about is they cooperate. We work well with each other. Equipped Christian people work well with each other. They don't get frustrated when someone else is doing something different than what they might think needs to happen. We figure out a way to work together. That's what equipped people, that's what the church needs to look at like. See, if we've got a church full of equipped people, come on, are you hearing me? If we got a church full of equipped people, then they are stable, they are Christ-like, they operate and cooperate, and they marry the truth and love together. I have been in a lot of churches across the country that are really well equipped. They're equipped. I love being around Christian people that I know are equipped. And I can talk for a very few minutes and I can find out if they're equipped or not. I can know, because if you're missing any of these, there's some equipping that needs to be done. There's some equipping, and all of us have to stay in church so we don't lose any of these qualities. These qualities come from the giftings that Christ gave the church to equip us with, and we've all got to receive them. The way that we become Christ-like and evident of that and stable and truthful and loving and honoring and cooperative is by staying in the church. Stay in the church. There will always be, in every church you're in, there will always be an opportunity for frustration. There will always be. Because there's people in the church. And people are what get frustrated. And know this, I'm here to speak today and to encourage you today, because I believe what we're doing here at Christian Ministries Church is working. It's effective. I have seen lives change, and I have watched people that I didn't see were Christ-like. They weren't stable. They weren't given to truth and love, and they weren't cooperative. And I've watched God work through their lives, and I'm not calling anyone out today, but I've watched it happen. You're Christ-like. You're stable. You operate in truth and love. And you are now very cooperative. What can I do to help? I want to be a part of this, instead of coming in and putting down everything going on. And here's the other thing that's evident of that. When people come here, that's what they tell me. These are the things that they say about Christian Ministries. So praise God, it's going well. I'm not preaching to try to fix a bunch of stuff this morning. I'm preaching today to encourage you to stay plugged in, and let's keep getting this equipped mindset so that we walk in these evidences. Because I'm just telling you, there is an enemy that is out seeking to destroy you and remove you from not just this church, but the church. He don't want you being involved with church. He's wanting to take you out as quick as he can get you. And what I'm telling you is, don't get caught up on one particular little area. Look at the fruit of the totality of the picture. And as you look at the fruit of the totality, you can see that there is obviously evidence here that things are happening. But here's my question this morning. Not every church, but why are churches in America, why are they not operating according to these evidences? And that's where I didn't get last week. So last week, that's what I talked about, and hopefully I got that all in just a compressed little portion of what I want to talk about this morning. But there's several reasons that I believe that we have missed what God has called in the church. And I know that everybody here knows of another church. I don't want to put down another church today. What I want to do is I want to make sure as I'm talking about this that I'm just setting your mind up first. Don't take your mind to another church and say, yeah, I know that church. I know that church. That's the church I grew up in. That's the church my parents go to. That's the church that my in-laws are. That's the church that you're talking about this morning. What I'm talking about today is I'm talking about what we've got to do to make sure that we continue to be equippers of the fivefold ministry is equipping the pastor, the prophets, the evangelists. See, I want all of the offices of the church to be equipping, and I want the church to get equipped. That's my heart. I've got a few things that I can call as a reason why it has not happened. And these reasons were all evident 12 years ago in the churches that I had been affiliated with. Not all of them. There was a few. Out of 600, there were three that I saw personally that I said, that's what I want to model myself after, because I'm watching them equip in a way that I've not seen in other churches. The first thing that I thought was very important, equippers themselves, now I'm just talking about the fivefold ministry right now, the equippers themselves, I've seen in a lot of places, have not been equipped to equip the saints. The equippers themselves, now what I'm doing is I'm shorting, I'm not saying the fivefold ministers, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, I'm not going through each one of them. What I'm trying to do this morning is just call them equippers. When the equippers aren't equipped, they can't equip. That all was just right off the top of my head. It's pretty good. Right? Yeah. Equippers themselves, when they're not equipped, they can't equip the saints. So what I'm going to tell you is we continually, as leadership, have to equip ourselves. There are times we have to go. We have to go somewhere. We have to be away there. And that has to happen on a real frequent basis so that we have personal time away from the Lord and we're not just pouring out, but we're filling up. See, there's a filling up that takes place, and that's got to be on a daily basis, but there are seasons where you got to get away and really get equipped yourself. That has to happen. Equippers also, I have seen, have not been expected to be equippers of the saints. Now, this is why I talked about this last week, because what a lot of equippers are actually looked at by the church body are people who are paid to do ministry, not paid to equip. And the fivefold ministers need to be doing ministry, but that's not what they're being on staff to do. They're on staff to equip someone else to do the ministry as they do it also. The third thing that I have seen, it's much harder to equip oftentimes than just do it yourself. See, I'm trying to equip somebody to do something, and let me just tell you from a management standpoint, it's way easier just go do it yourself than try to get somebody else to do it. I'll just go take care of that, forget it. Can you go talk to so-and-so and help them with this? And you know what, just forget it, I'll go do it. And I have watched pastor after pastor, I've watched evangelists, I've watched prophets. You know what, I'll just take care of that myself. You don't have to worry. Well, then they become the minister, and that's what they are looked at in the body to do. But if you've got a true fivefold ministry happening, then the body is the one being equipped to do ministry. Let me go on. Some equippers feel that the people are inadequate to do ministry. And some people feel inadequate to do ministry. Let me just say today, you are not inadequate. You are an effective member of the body of Christ, and God has a call in each and every one of your lives to minister. Every one of you. And so these equippers here do not believe for a second that anyone here is inadequate. But I have seen that be the case. Well, they just couldn't do that. No, everybody's given giftings, and you can do it. Now, some of y'all are horrible at hugging. See, I get that. So I'm not going to try to talk you into hugging and being that your ministry to the church. The church will fail. When you're trying to get people to operate outside of their giftings, it's tough. But you're gifted all, and me and every one of us, in a very unique and individual way. And as we learn what those giftings are, and the church has to teach those, then you get equipped to go out and minister that gifting, in that gifting. Number six, some equippers gain ego or satisfaction from being indispensable. Some equippers gain ego or satisfaction from being indispensable. I want to give just a few examples of this that you've seen here. Melanie's a wonderful worship leader. She is. And if you'll watch, she stands up here and there's a whole front line of people right here with her, and they're all ministering and leading. But there are instances that it would be real easy just to say, y'all take a seat. I can out-sing every one of you. That's not her heart. I'm just saying. She's got more experience, her past, her back, everything about what she does a great job. But as an equipper, what you've got to know, as she's equipping them for the work and the God's call upon her life up here, then she steps back and enables them to step forward, and she doesn't see herself as someone who's indispensable. She can leave at any point. I can't tell you the pastors that I know that are scared when they get back and say, that was the best service we've ever had, and you weren't even there. That's going to freak a lot of pastors out. Let me just tell you, when I'm gone and I call different people, how did it go? Because I want to know, I'm praying for before, I'm watching wherever I'm at, what's going on here. My heart's plugged in here at all times. And after the service is over with, I find out, Pastor, it was one of the greatest. It was awesome. I'm going, woohoo! Yeah! You know why? Because I want to make sure that I'm not sitting here thinking that I'm indispensable. God is using me, but he can use anybody else too with the same gifting. And it ought to be just as good because it's not about the person, it's about the Lord. Some equippers, number 7, see themselves as providers of ministry, not equippers of ministry. And so I want to make sure at all times I'm reminding myself and the people that are helping to equip the church, that we see ourselves as equippers for ministry, not providers only. Now, obviously, there are times we need to provide in ministry, and we need to operate in the giftings God has given us, and we do that just to minister. But my heart is to equip, and that's what we've got to do. You know, you can know real quick by looking at the fruit of the people in a church if the ministers are equipping, or if they're just doing all the ministry. I got to go do this. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I want you to know, if you've been here for a short time and you've not heard me teach a lot on this, you might in your mind go, well, why does the pastor do that? Why didn't the pastor do that? Why does so-and-so do that? Because the thing is, the ministry of the church is the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the equippers respond. People of the church, number 8, last one. People of the church have seen themselves as consumers of ministry, not doers of ministry. You know, you're here today to get equipped. But don't look at yourself as a consumer of ministry. You're a consumer of equipping for you to go out and do what God's called you to do. See, that's what you're here to do today, is you're to get equipped. You're not to be, per se, ministered to. You're equipped to go minister. See, we don't think like that. Well, I just need to go to church on Sunday. And there are times at church you're going to get ministered to. Hear me. I'm not putting that down. But if that's all you're doing is coming to receive every Sunday, then you're not going to worry about getting equipped to go do anything. I just got to get some of God today. You do, and the God you need is the equipping that he's going to provide to bring his will on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God's going to do, and you're going to have to get equipped to do that. Here's what I know about CMC. We've got to become, and we've got to continue to and always work on being a fully equipping church. And as we, the people of the church, go out from here and minister, one of our primary goals is to point people to the church. I don't ever want you coming and not getting your toes stepped on here. So I'm just going to make a statement, and I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm just going to say, how many people, here's the question, how many people have you introduced to the church? If we all would take Matthew 28 seriously, and we would go out, Jesus told the disciples to go and do what? Make disciples. How many disciples are you making? How many disciples are you making? Now, here's the thing. If you're making a disciple and you're not pointing them to the church, then you're not making equipped disciples, because they get their equipping in the ministry of the church. And I would argue that point forever. I'm very stable on it. The church is what equips people to go out and do the ministry. Now, if the church is equipped and they go out and minister, then the result of that should be that we're going to introduce them to Jesus, see them saved. And I've heard story after story about people in our church doing that. Pastor, I led so-and-so to the Lord this week. Praise God. But after that, did you lead them to church? Because, see, we got to get them saved. We got to get them turned on to the things of God. But the thing that's got to happen is they got to get equipped. And in and of yourself, you're not going to provide what God gifted the church to provide. God gifted the church to provide an equipping that you won't ever do individually. It takes getting hooked up with the church. So our goal, come on, if I'm saying one thing today, I want to encourage you. Let's get people into church. Now, it doesn't have to be this church, but it's not a bad one. It's not a bad, but I understand you're working on the north side of Springfield or you're somewhere else, and I just don't know. That's a long drive. Well, there's a lot of great churches around. And I hear people say, well, I just don't know. I just couldn't go there. Well, then where are you going? Well, nowhere. You can't go anywhere. You can't just not go there. You just can't go. We've got to get people in the church. And that's the thing. If you're equipped, you're going to figure out ways to do that. So I want you to plug in, because not just today, but over the next few weeks, I want to do a type of series that is going to be really effective. And I've just been, this has been laying on my heart this week. I really want to do something that at the end we can turn around and look at and say, am I equipped to do that with somebody? Here a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I did a teaching session on how to lead someone to Jesus. And I gave out some handouts, and it's on a podcast. You're welcome to pick that up. If you want a handout, come talk to me or talk to Rachel. She'll make sure you get one. But here's the thing. We've got to know how to share Jesus. We've got to know how to share our faith. Well, if you weren't here for that, and I understand there are times you can't be here, but you missed an equipping. And someone may need to be saved that you know and you don't know really how to share with them. That's what I talked about that Wednesday night. That'd be something you could really use. The sad part of all of this is there's too many out there doing nothing to point people to the church. Now, obviously, if you're equipped, you'll point them to Jesus. But if you point them to Jesus, shouldn't you point them to the church, the body of Christ? I mean, that's what I'm seeing. That's the missing link I'm seeing happen in our society. We got a bunch of Christians not thinking they need to be associated with the church. And I'm not talking to you right now. That you're obviously here. You see the importance of that. But know this, other people are missing the importance of the equipping. So get equipped, but part of your equipping needs to be to bring people into a place they can get equipped. They don't just need to be ministered to you every day by you. Well, I'm really working with somebody. Great. I think that's very important. And people need ministered to, and that's our job as the church body, is to go out and minister to people. But eventually, they need equipped to minister. And what we're doing is we're leaving people in just this state that, well, we're sure ministering to them. Well, at what point are you going to finish ministering to them and equip them to minister? See, I don't want to get up here every week and just minister, and people say, well, I just can't believe you don't have an altar call every week. I'm not here to minister every week. That's the church body's job. I'm here to equip you to go out and provide an altar service. Now, there are times that God lays on my heart and we minister, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I just think we've got this mindset that all church is supposed to do is minister, and what the church is supposed to do is equip so that the church can go minister. But we're looking at the only ministry that can happen right here. We've sadly missed in the Bible, and that is where tradition has overrode the Bible, and we can't have that. Here are the areas that will allow us as a church to equip. And I'm going to go through these, and I'll be relatively quick this morning on these. But these are also the areas that we have to place ourselves in to go do the work of the ministry. We got to place ourselves. We got to get equipped. We got to go minister, and here's what it takes. Number one, every one of us must know what our spiritual gift is and where you enjoy serving. And this is some of what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Everyone here needs to know, I just don't know what my gift is. Don't miss church, because we're going to equip you. We're going to equip you. Everybody here has a spiritual gift, and you've got to know the area that you can serve in. What's your spiritual gift? We'll be continually teaching that here. You must know how to put together a satisfying devotional life. I have a group of men that periodically, now I haven't done it on a daily basis, but every once in a while, just send a text out with a Bible verse and just a little thing that I just want to encourage them with. If well, I need on that. All right, that's great, but why don't you start one? See, I can put you on. That's an area I'm ministering in, but you need to have your devotional life and not be dependent upon somebody else for it. See, you got to have that. Daily, you got to be equipping yourself in the Word and receiving the equipping. I love to hear people, and this happens all the time, and I've loved this for years. When people get excited and turned on to God and they start reading their Bible, they start listening to sermons, Matt Goldsmith was one of the first ones that one of the most recent that did this. It seemed like every week he was here for the first few months they were here, he was up, okay, here's what you said, what does that mean? I mean, he was just continually seeking more. I want more. Is that you? I want more because I want to know how to be able to tell that to so-and-so when I'm on the road. I want to be able to, are you that excited about the Word? You want it because you got somebody else you got to give it to. That's a heart for equipping. Number three, to know how to explain why you believe the Christian faith is an area you got to be equipped in. Why do you believe the Christian faith? Why do you believe in the faith that God talks about? Why do you believe what you believe? Personal testimony comes into play here. Can you tell somebody a personal testimony where God has moved supernaturally and just, I mean, let me just tell you, I got something to tell you about God. I got something to tell you. The Garbys have something to tell you about God. That you don't have to tell their story. What's yours? See, using the areas that you can say, there is no way that I would ever be discounted on anything of the Bible because it's been so real to me. No one could ever change my heart. That's one of the things I love about Leaders Academy. And I've been telling them this week that as we teach different things about the Word, you guys, by in this next 9 months, will be equipped. And my prayer is that no one could ever shake you or move you on the Word again. Because our young people are movable. I want them so grounded in the Word of God that now I don't care where they're at, they're not moving. I'm not moving. Throw me in prison and beat the fire out of me, I'm not moving on the Word of God. That was Paul. You're not going to move him. See, I want Christian people to be equipped that they're not movable. Number four, to know and to understand people and how to develop relationships with them. This one is one all of us need on a continual basis because we oftentimes will mess up a relationship. I don't care if you're an extrovert or introvert. It don't matter. We will not do what somebody else is expecting us to do in a relationship. Come on, everybody here has been there, so I understand that. So-and-so's frustrated with me. So-and-so's mad. Well, do you understand enough about people how you can try to work through that? Now, not all the time you can fix that, but it takes daily working with and doing life with people, so you better figure out how to work some relationships to your advantage. The church needs to equip people for that. Know this, you're going to have a hard time being in a deep relationship rooted in the Word of God when your best friend is not. When your best friend and who you're hanging with all the time is not rooted in the Word of God, what's your common denominator? Come on, we just started school. This is a word that's fresh on my mind. Common denominator. Common denominator. If the common denominator is not the Bible, then you've got to work on getting that your common denominator. And if it's not, then find out what is in your relationship, and then you can know where you're going. Number five, to know how to lead the Christian life outside of just sitting in church on Sundays. Everybody is super spiritual today. Really. We're super spiritual today, but what about when you keep not throwing your clothes in the hamper? How spiritual are you then? See, there's certain things that we've got to always be looking at and realizing that Sundays are not the only day to live for God. It's every minute of every day. And if you're not equipped to do that, then the church is missing their responsibility. But I want you to be plugged in to where you'll want that equipping so it makes a difference. Number six, knowing how to build a strong family is an equipping that's got to be done in every church. One of the things that I love about Christian ministries, if there's a forte that we have, that's the area that I think that God has just really laid on our heart here, build a strong family. Now, how do you do that? You get a strong marriage. Come on, your marriage has got to be strong. You got to be strong. Well, I just don't know. I'm married to the devil himself. No. Let me just tell you, that's not true. You don't believe that, I know. But what I'm telling you is there are retreats, there are opportunities for you, and we will point you to that. But there's a time that you can grow your marriage, and you need to. Put your marriage first. Don't put your Friday nights with all your friends first. Your marriage needs to be first. Your marriage has got to be first. And then when your marriage is first, then your kids will start being an attention that you put on. But we've got a lot of marriages that are just this, that, and the other, and I don't know what's going on. And until you put the marriage first, the kids aren't going to be where they need to be. The marriage got to be first. And then you work with the kids. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of teaching on kids here. Christian Ministries, Hot Springs Christian Ministries here all have books. We have different things in the back that are resources. And we've got to know how to raise kids. We got to know, according to the Word, according to what fruit has worked, this worked. I want to know from somebody who it's already worked with. If you don't have kids, don't come to me and talk to me about parenting. I don't really have any respect for what you have to say. Well, are you kidding me? No, I don't. When you raise some kids, then I have something to say. I mean, you got my attention. I want to know what worked. And I'm only going to duplicate and live and operate based on what works as long as it doesn't deter from this. Because the fruit's what we're looking at. Number seven, we've got to know how to be a servant leader in the church. We have got to have everybody here serving the church. Well, I just don't know that I am. Then think about that and pray about it. What can we do to equip you to serve? The idea of church, a lot of times we think, well, I need to be standing in the back greeting people, or I need to be on the parking team. You know what? You could be the one who just takes out every piece of trash that's in every trash can in the church. You could be the one that maybe nobody knows it, but I'm going to go check the restrooms and make sure they're clean for guests that'll be here. See, there, not everything is glamorous in service. Just, you got to know that, but there's an area for everybody to serve. There is a lot to clean around here. There's a lot to clean, especially when you have a building under construction. There's a lot to clean. Number eight, to know how to develop a positive attitude in life. You know, many people are just living looking for the next crisis, and they don't know they are, but they are. They're just looking for the next reason to get mad. I've seen it. And it comes out. And just tell you, no, you ain't fooling nobody. Everybody knows it. You just stay away from them because you're getting ready to get a mouthful. You know, and nobody wants that. It will affect your marriage. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect so many areas. And so in church, we need a church full of people who have a positive attitude. And I'm not talking about too much syrup on your pancakes. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm talking about someone who, when you come up, how's it going? You know what? Bless God, it's good. Well, I know what's going on in your life. It don't matter. Bless God, he's good, and I'm good because of it. See, we got to start thinking right in that area. Number nine, we've got to know how to bring someone to faith by sharing the gospel. I talked about that. Number 10, you got to know how to read and understand the big picture stuff in the Bible. Well, I just don't know that much about the Bible. We're doing a back to the Bible class in Sunday school that's talking really specifically about a lot of stuff that you may not have ever learned, and it'll give you a bigger picture when we're talking and ministering the word. Know the Bible. Well, how do I do that? I get equipped. Well, how do you do that? Go to church. Number 11, know how to be able to disciple a new Christian. Well, I just don't know what to tell them. There is plenty of things you can tell them, and church will get you equipped to do that. Come on, we got to own up to the responsibility of being a part of the body of Christ. And that's what I'm seeing happening across our country, not owning up. Number 12, to know how to grow and invest in family. I talked a little bit about that a second ago, but you got to know how to invest in it. Number 13, how to handle your personal life. It's hard to minister to someone when you're always the one in need of ministry. When your finances are not in order, you can't minister to anyone financially. That's an easy one to talk about. When your marriage is in shambles, you're not going to be able to minister effectively to a marriage that's in need. See, you just name it. When you're not daily in the Word of God, let Him empower you, you're not going to be able to minister to anybody else who needs empowered daily by God. Are you following that? You're going to have to get all the areas of your personal life in order.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.